This evening we're going to be looking at Psalm 34. So if you would please turn to Psalm 34 in your Bibles. Psalm 34 is a psalm of David, a psalm that he wrote on the occasion of his deliverance from Achish, the king of Gath. And Achish is referred to as Abimelech by his title Abimelech in this psalm. And if you remember that story, you'll remember that this wasn't a very elegant deliverance. And David escaped by drooling on his beard and acting like a madman. But even though it wasn't a very elegant deliverance, David didn't care. God had delivered him, and you'll see that this psalm is overflowing with praise and enthusiasm for God. Psalm 34, this is the very word of God. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out, and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Well, one of the things that Christians like to do is to choose a life verse. You know, a life verse is a verse that you pick maybe at the beginning of your life, and you make a special effort to believe that verse and to live out of that verse throughout the rest of your life. And maybe some of you have chosen a life verse like that. But one verse that I hope that you have not chosen in your life, though you might think that it would fit, is Job chapter 5, verse 7. Job chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "But man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, most likely, for many of you, this verse seems to be almost self-explanatory, self-evident. It matches only too well with your experience. And you face trouble with your health, trouble in your family, trouble in your relationships with other people, maybe trouble in your finances. And even if your life is going well right now, You are not so naive as to doubt that trouble certainly will be part of your life. Now, while trouble in our lives is difficult, it's painful, and it's frustrating, what Psalm 34 helps us to see is that trouble provides a tremendous opportunity for us. An opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so Psalm 34 calls you this evening, not as a sharp rebuke, but as a hopeful, compelling plea. It calls you that no matter what you are facing in your life today, to taste the Lord in your trouble, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, as we look at this psalm, we can see that it divides really quite nicely into two divisions. In verses 1 through 10, we are encouraged to taste the Lord through personal testimony. And then in verses 11 through 22, we are encouraged to taste the Lord through divine teaching. And so let's look at this psalm based on these two kinds of encouragements. First of all, be encouraged to taste the Lord because of personal testimony. Personal testimony. So we jump right into this psalm, look at the first couple of verses. What we see is not carefully organized theology, and we don't see a review of God's covenant faithfulness throughout history. Now, what is the first word of this psalm? It's I because David is encouraging us to taste the Lord through personal testimony. And his testimony motivates us both by his attitude and also by his story. And right off the bat, in the first three verses, we are motivated to taste the Lord by David's attitude. Look at verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David is overflowing with praise and enthusiasm and gratitude for the Lord. He's acting like someone who has tasted the Lord and found him to be good. And his enthusiasm, his overflowing praise is contagious. Whenever we listen to what David says in these verses, we've got to say, whatever you have, I want it. And so this attitude, David's attitude, by itself encourages us to taste the Lord. However, David's attitude is also something that we should imitate. Those of you who are experiencing the deliverance of the Lord right now, I'm sure there are some of you. Maybe he's provided for you financially. Maybe he's restored you back to health. Maybe he's given you victory over sin. Whatever the right reason, if your faith is hot and alive, if you're full of praise to the Lord today, then the rest of us need you to show it. We need you to let it out, to talk about what God has done, to say like verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And as you do this, by your attitude of enthusiastic praise, you will compel us, you will compel others to taste the Lord too. But after this opening stanza of enthusiastic praise, as we move on to verses 4 through 7, David goes on to what we more classically think of as personal testimony. Now we find that we are motivated to taste the Lord by David's story. David's story. Now what David actually says about his story here is short and generic. Now look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. But if we read what happened to David back in 1 Samuel 21, What we'll find is not something that's short and generic, but something that is concrete and vivid and powerful. Saul, with all the resources of a powerful king, was bent on destroying David. And David was in a desperate situation. And so he took an extreme measure. He fled to the city of his enemies, to Gath of the Philistines. Now David was hoping that he could maintain a low profile in Gath, that people wouldn't recognize him, not to draw any attention to himself. But as soon as he showed up in Gath, and the people recognized him, and they began to sing his theme song. Now you remember David's theme song, don't you? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. It was, you know, ten thousands of Philistines that David had slain. And so David was in a desperate situation. He was in deep trouble. And he was terrified. But in his trouble and in his fear, he cried out to the Lord. And God heard David's cry, and he made King Achish believe these crazy antics. And David escaped. And so we can fill in the details of David's deliverance here into verse 4. But because verse 4 is short and generic, it also invites us to fill in other stories besides David's. How has God delivered you? How has God delivered other people in your family? How has God delivered your brothers and sisters here at the Springs Reformed Church? Well, I trust you know a lot of these stories, and you've heard them, and you speak of them. But maybe there are more stories, and maybe even this week you could spend some time collecting stories of God delivering His people when they sought Him. My family and I, and when we're back in Pittsburgh, we worship at the North Hills Reformed Presbyterian Church, and the North Hills congregation sponsors a missionary to Africa, Dr. Izzy Elliott. And right now she's back in the States on furlough, and she's been giving presentations about her work over there. And so she gave a presentation at the North Hills congregation. And as she gave this presentation, she gave story after story after story of God's deliverance in answer to her prayers. She told of a woman who had arrived at the hospital, probably having lost her entire volume of blood, and yet this woman survived. She told of how God took away, really miraculously, the arthritis that had affected her hands as a complication of her contracting dengue fever. And she told about how God provided a solution to a power transfer box failure that was threatening the electrical supply of the entire hospital. And in this presentation, as I listened to her speak of deliverance after deliverance of the Lord, I just found tears starting to come to my eyes. Her testimony that God is powerful, that God is good, that God does hear His people when they cry out to Him, it powerfully moved me. Of course, as we're thinking about how God has delivered others, it's important for us to remember why personal testimonies work. Why is it that the stories of other people, of God delivering other people, bring encouragement to us? Well, testimonies work because the same God that delivered David from King Achish, the same God who healed this woman after Dr. Elliott prayed for her, this same God is the same God who is reigning over Colorado Springs, Colorado today. And because He is the God who is reigning here, reigning today, then David's exhortation, that's really the middle and the pinnacle of this psalm, is for you. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. After reaching this crescendo of enthusiasm, in verse 11, Psalm 34 seems to take a shift in tone. So far, we've heard from the dancing in the streets David, the enthusiastic David, and now we hear from a different David, the theologian teacher David. So while we've seen that we've been encouraged to take the Lord, taste the Lord in trouble because of personal testimony, we also are encouraged to taste the Lord because of divine teaching. Divine teaching. You see, if you're going to taste the Lord in trouble, there are certain truths that you need to know, certain convictions that you need to develop. And in this second half of the psalm, God, through David, teaches us these truths. And so let's look at three of them. And the first one is this: the Lord tastes good only for the righteous. The Lord tastes good only for the righteous. After the really extravagant promises here in verses 8 through 10, you might be wondering about the scope of God's blessing, the scope of His deliverance and goodness. Who are these promises for? Well, Psalm 34 makes it clear that these promises are not for everyone. God's eyes, God's ears, God's deliverance, God's goodness are not for the wicked, but are for the righteous. Look at verses 15 and 16. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Somehow, this first truth doesn't seem so encouraging. And maybe you're thinking right now, yes, I am in trouble. I have trouble in my life. And I want to taste the Lord in my trouble. But righteous? Am I really righteous? Do I qualify for tasting that the Lord is good? And if that's troubling you this evening, then you need to hear about one particular righteous man. This man was perfectly righteous. God's eyes were on him. God heard his cries. Like verse 19 says, this man had many afflictions. He was poor. He was misunderstood. He was attacked. He was betrayed. He was beaten. And finally, he was killed. But like verse 20 promises, not one of his bones was broken. And God did deliver him, even after his death, by raising him from the dead. And it's this man's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, that is freely available to you. Because of Him, the promises of tasting God are not only for those who are righteous in sinless perfection, but are promises for you who have received the righteousness of Jesus by faith. And if we look closely at Psalm 34, it's really this kind of righteousness that is being described. In verse 14, we see that it's a turning from sin righteousness. In verse 18, it's a broken-hearted righteousness. Isn't this the righteousness of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? If you come to God like this, humbling yourself, trusting in the righteousness of Christ, and as you taste the Lord, you will see that He is good. Of course, the flip side of this, is that there may be some of you here this evening who have never believed in Jesus. You don't have His righteousness. And when you come to God, if you try to come to God, you are coming on your own terms, according to your own way. And if this is true of you this evening, it's deathly important that you understand that if you come to God on your own terms, you will not find Him to be good. He will only taste good to you if you come one way, with true righteousness, in the righteousness of Jesus, because the Lord tastes good only for the righteous. So the Lord tastes good only for the righteous, but secondly, the Lord tastes good even in trouble. Even in trouble. Once again, if we look at these promises in verses 13 through 18, we might think that those who are righteous will live a sort of charmed life, a life free from trouble. But verse 19 very quickly extinguishes that idea. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You see, God's goodness doesn't mean that you will be free from trouble. Rather, God's goodness means that your afflictions will be opportunities for you to taste God. This is different than the wicked. Verse 21 says that afflictions for the wicked only destroy. But the afflictions of the righteous, your afflictions as you come to God in Jesus, will teach you to cry out to the Lord, will show you God's deliverance, will help you to experience His presence more closely, more immediately than if you were at ease. You see, it's out of affliction. It's in the midst of trouble that God delivers. And we have to recognize that the manner of His deliverance is really up to Him. And God may deliver you like He delivered Dr. Elliot in Gabon and really a swift and a decisive answer to prayer. Or He may deliver you less elegantly, like He delivered David from Achish and Gath. Or He may deliver you as He delivered Jesus. Not in this life at all, but only by raising you from the dead. But no matter how the Lord is pleased to deliver you, if you seek Him in faith, you will be delivered. For the Lord tastes good, even in trouble. Then thirdly, the third principle of divine teaching is this. The Lord tastes good because He gives you Himself. The Lord tastes good because He gives you Himself. Now, what should you expect if you seek the Lord in trouble? Well, from looking at Psalm 34, the answer to this should be clear. For those of you who are willing to taste the Lord in your trouble, to seek Him in prayer, to seek Him by faith, repenting of your sins, if you taste the Lord in this way, you will be delivered. But as you are waiting for Him to deliver you, whether His deliverance is today, or next year, or not until the resurrection, you don't have to wait to taste Him. God gives you Himself right now. Isn't that the testimony of this psalm? God is encamped around you now. God's eyes are on you now. His ears are open to your prayers now. When you cry to Him, He hears. When your heart is broken, He is near. When you look to Him, He will make your face radiant. For no one who takes refuge in Him will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, I don't know all of what your troubles are, this evening. I'm sure you have them. I'm sure you have troubles of one kind or another. But in your troubles, will you taste the Lord if you seek Him by faith? No, but you surely will taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray.